It's time for the greatest little internet radio show, Blow the Whistle. Always live on SportsTownChicago.com and on Twitch at SportsTownShot. Tyler, Butterball, Buterball.
Jackson Mahomes.
Dude, you are so stupid. I knew this kid was going to be a complete meth, like a youth mess. Not meth. Sorry. Not meth.
No, that too.
That might be part of it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have learned that your brother doesn't even let you go on the field anymore to his games? He sticks you up in a freaking suite.
See, I think he needs to go to Allstate because when you're covered by mayhem,
you'll be better protected.
Andrew Pepe Ballantyne.
IMG Academy for being sold for $1.5 billion to the Endeavor Group who bought WWE and UFC.
No way.
Yeah. How can you say that high school's sports is not about business when the IMG Academy, who is supposed to be a legitimate high school, goes for $1.25 billion to Endeavor Corporate? Are you kidding me?
It's game time.
David, Double D Dykstra.
Not the sixth round.
No.
Not the seventh round.
Mm-mm.
Not even a free agent signee.
Nope.
You go out and draft your backup quarterback to Jordan Love. And yes, I said backup quarterback, because if you look at that quarterback room, nobody, nada, zip, zilch, nothing. For every Bears fan that is out there right now, hope and pray to God that Jordan Love twists his ankle so bad that you get to see this godforsaken mess.
Oh my God.
That is Sean Mother Trucking Clifford.
Let's get her.
Tyler Buterbaugh, Andrew Ballantyne, and David Dykstra. Your greatest little internet radio show everywhere you go.
Happy hump day, everybody, here from Blow the Whistle.
That's how you start the show. Hell there,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, baby. Happy hump day here in... I'll just say Lombard Studios. We're not in Lombard anymore.
No.
O'Hare.
O'Hare Studios here in Illinois Media School. That's right. You're listening to Blow the Whistle. And as always, I am Tyler Butterball Buterbaugh, along with
Andrew Pepe Valentin
and David Double D Dykstra.
And we have a wonderful show for you today, as we are going to do, we're going to bring him here in a minute, but we're going to be talking to our great buddy, Rob Brown. He is the host of the Rob Brown Show from 9 to 12 Eastern on The Fan, upstate in Greenfield, South Carolina, available live on thefanupstate.com or by telling your smart speaker to play The Fan Upstate. And he is also the co-host of Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to 4 Eastern on the BetQL network. And you can always find him at The Rob Brown Show on all social medias. And then we're going to carry on the baseball talk later in the show. And then we're going to answer all your guys' questions and stuff from our fan mail. But
fan mail,
let's start off and let's bring in the legend himself. Rob Brown, how the heck are you, man?
Well, I got to tell you, I was glad I had my speaker volume set to negative 12 during that intro. That was incredible.
Hey, I got to bring in the energy, man. We appreciate you coming on with us today. We're going to have a lot of fun in this segment for sure, man.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Listen, any day that I get to sit around and talk baseball with a bunch of lunatics is a pretty good day. Let's do the damn thing.
That's a good way to describe
us. Let's do the damn thing. I love it, baby.
That is an excellent way to describe us.
Rob
only knows the lunatic that gets the tattoo because of the show. He doesn't know all the other lunacy that I'm about, so this ought to be interesting.
I witnessed it, so while Kenny G was playing in that background, so I made that suggestion.
That's just the tip of the iceberg of the lunatics that you'll see on this show from us. Rob, let's start it off real quick. Ohtani, the biggest name in baseball right now, biggest athlete in sports, and the biggest rumor about like what's going to go on with him in the deadline. So do you see Ohtani getting moved anywhere before the deadline? I do have some odds here from BetMGM on where they're starting at right now. Braves at plus 800, Rays at plus 22, and then Dodgers at plus 500.
Oh, you just tickled his fancy right there.
We're going to start it off nice.
Listen. Fellas, you guys are, I love this. I love it. It's like baseball talk on amphetamine. This is great. Let's go with it. Shohei Ohtani, is he going to move? The answer is, I don't know. Y'all don't know. Nobody knows, right? Shohei don't know. The Angels don't know. We've talked about this a couple of times, and honestly, step one is I don't know how you value Shohei Ohtani, and I don't care which way you say that, right? Like, I don't know what the value is for the LA Angels to keep Shohei Ohtani in terms of ticket sales and merch sales for the remainder of the season. I don't know what the value is for Shohei Ohtani as far as compensation they'll get for Shohei Ohtani. I don't know what the value is for other teams in terms of what they'll be willing to give for Shohei Ohtani. This is wild, right? It's like it's like adding the newest, hottest, updated sports car to the market. Like, we don't know what anybody's going to pay for it. We don't know what anybody's going to sell it for. There's just no way to know. My thought would be, if Shohei Ohtani was a regular baseball player, right? If he was a Cy Young caliber pitcher, yeah, he's getting moved. If Shohei Ohtani was the guy who was only going to lead the majors in home runs this year, yeah, he's going to get moved. But he's freaking both, right? And one player, and so we have no idea what the market looks like. We've never seen a player with this type of background before get moved to even have an idea of where to compare him to and who to scale it with. And so if he was just one of those two things, yes, he's getting moved, and we got a pretty good idea of the price he's going to catch. But he's both, and he's in one player. And, oh, by the way, if you make the move for Shohei Ohtani, you still got to re-sign him for next year, right? Like, you're trading him for the back half of a season with no guarantee he's going to be willing to sign for you again next year. So do you want to send two all-stars and a handful of prospects? Do you want to clear your farm system for a guy that you don't know if he's on your team next year, or if he decides, screw it, I'm moving on again? Nobody knows any of these answers right now, and there's going to be a heck of a lot of behind-the-scenes golf course conversations between GMs and owners to try to just get a clue, because I don't think anybody has one. That being said, we know the teams that are willing to spend money in free agency. We know that the Dodgers are a team that spend money in free agency. We know the Mets are already LO Mets, screw it, deep into having the biggest payroll in their history, the biggest payroll in Major League Baseball's history. Would they be willing to add six more months of Shohei's salary onto that? I don't know. And, you know, I think every baseball fan in America right now is kind of turned on by the idea of maybe we're the dark horse, right? Like, maybe we're the team that nobody sees landing Shohei, and we will. Look, I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. That team is good. This team is set up despite the disappointment of a three-game losing streak. And if that's the worst that happens all year, great. I'm not going to get myself all hot and bothered about the Braves making a play. But the Braves have made a lot of plays around trade deadline the last couple of years. So there's some potential surprise teams in there. The Cubs are one of them. I could probably come up with a couple more if I tried, but frankly, I don't feel like trying right now. We don't know what's going to go on. Do I think he moves? Yes. But the reality is, we know the Angels care more about short-term profit than they do long-term success. And if they think they can get another, I don't know, $600 million of ticket sales and merch sales and TV deals out of Shohei Ohtani, it might be worth it to their owner and their ownership to keep that guy in an Angels uniform, even if they're not going to do a damn thing with him the rest of the year. Was that long-winded enough for you guys? Did I kill off enough time there?
That was perfect. That was beautifully said, Rob. Absolutely. I think the whole Ohtani thing is really coming down to who's going to be willing to ship what to him. And like you said, to put a value on him is almost impossible because of what he can do on so many levels, right? He's easily a Cy Young worthy pitcher. He's another MVP type of hitter. It feels odd to be able to put because you think like sell the whole system for him, right? But instead it's like, well, some teams are maybe offering like 2, 3, 4 players for him because they think that might be enticing enough. But from your perspective, Rob, I mean, you mentioned a bunch of teams, obviously, and out of all the teams that are right now in Major League Baseball, is there one that you particularly feel more comfortable with him going to that's like a perfect fit, be it a favorite or like one that nobody's even talking about? Is there that one team that you're just like, he's right. There's no doubt he fits with that team.
Shohei Ohtani fits with any team. because of how good he is, right? He's a mutant. He's a freak. And I say that in the, like, usually when people call me a mutant and a freak, it means they want to take me behind the playground at 2 p.m. and beat me up. I use this in the most complimentary way. This dude is, Double D's heard me say this before, and I'm sticking by it. All right. This dude's the best baseball player on the history of planet Earth. He's the best baseball player alive today. He's the best baseball player that he ever, that's ever lived. And I'm almost willing to say we'll never see another guy. And I got a whole philosophy behind that. We're like, we're specializing kids younger and younger to play a position, right? Like, we got pitchers throwing younger and younger and only throwing. I just don't ever think we're going to see a two-way player like Shohei Ohtani. If you want to know what Major League Baseball team he fits in, the answer is all of them. There's not a team out there that can't use him, because guess what? There's a lot of teams that have got a great offense and need help off the bump. The Atlanta Braves, Shohei Ohtani's a Cy Young Award winner. You got a lot of teams that have got pretty good pitching but can't get an offense together. The Miami Marlins, to some degree, they need some help. Shohei Ohtani fits there too. So there's not a team that it doesn't fit. The only question mark is, A, does his salary fit? Do you feel like paying him for a one-year rental? And I think that does pretty much eliminate every team that's not a – and when I say contender, I mean World Series contender. Not a team that's pushing the playoffs. I mean a team that thinks they can do it. The Dodgers are in that mix. The Braves are in that mix. The Rangers, the Astros, those types of teams are in that mix. And so I think it's going to end up being one of them. But you also got to look at the things that Shohei Ohtani has said too, which is, like, dude has repeatedly emphasized, I don't care about individual awards. Like, sure, I'll take them home if I win one, but I want to win. I want to play for a winner, and I want to be on a winning team. And that kind of restricts it, not for this year, but it restricts the type of teams that Shohei Ohtani might be willing to sign with in the future, right? So if let's say you got a dark horse like the Chicago Cubs, who I think are like the fifth or sixth longest odds to get that guy, if they go get a Shohei Ohtani, and then they still stink after that's over, and they end up third place in that division, missing the playoffs, and a 65-70 game winner. Do you really think Shohei Ohtani, a guy who has made it abundantly clear repeatedly that his only desire is to win championships, does he turn around and sign another contract with that team? Probably not, right? Like, because he knows, once again, there's a six bleeping $100 million contract waiting for him during free agency this offseason. If you're going to sign a contract for that long and that much money, you better do it somewhere that looks like they're primed for the next handful of years to win a World Series. So those are the only types of teams I think that would be willing to make the move. If I'm going to clear my farm system out, but it gives me Shohei Ohtani for the next 5 or 6 years, that's a worthwhile investment. But if I'm going to clean my farm system out and I'm going to get him for 6 months and then he's going to be gone again, why? Why, right? Like, that is such short-term thinking, unless you know we are going to win it this year with Shohei Ohtani. And I think that list of teams is probably 5 or 6 deep tops.
I can't argue with that either.
I mean, it's...
Of course you can't argue with it. I'm freaking right. Come on, boy.
Rob, we do have some malign Cubs and Sox fans sitting in front of me. Andrew is your Sox fan.
Yeah.
Tyler's your Cubs fan.
Yeah.
You can hear it in our voices.
Honest to God, I did not know that I was going to be able to feel the disappointment come through the speaker in my phone right there.
Yeah, oh, it's palpable in this city right now.
It's hard.
I wanted to ask you for them, Give us your thoughts on whether the Sox should be buyers or sellers, because both of them are in trash divisions, and whether the Cubs should be buyers or sellers.
All right, here's the rule. I'm going to tell you my answer, but you have to invite me back on the show and not fly to Greenville to kick my ass. You got it? The answer is, I think you got to both be sellers. And in the case of the White Sox, I mean, like, the whole team, right? Like, I think it's at the point where I've heard Cody Decker yell, "Jerry's got to sell the team 50 times. And like the first 47, I'm like, all right, dude, relax, right? Like, this is a GM thing. And now here we are, we're out of the break. And hey, by the way, what I do love about both of these teams is that they constantly give you guys just enough of a silver lining, right? Like, the White Sox are going to come out of the All-Star break. They're going to go to Atlanta. They're going to beat the team with the best record in Major League Baseball 2 out of 3, and then they're going to come home and stink the joint up again, right? Like, it's just enough hope to keep you coming back for more, which is incredible. No, listen. I think if you are both of those teams, it's kind of time to look ahead to the future, because here's the reality. Like, yes, you're in craft divisions. You're honestly in a winnable division for both teams, but you're going to win that division, and then what? You're going to win that division and go up against Atlanta. You're going to go up in that division. You're going to win the division. You're going to go up against the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or the Giants, or you're going to go up on the other side against the Yankees or the Orioles or Tampa Bay or whatever. Like, do either of you guys honestly give your team a 7-game series shot against the best teams in the division if you were the last place division winner? Respectfully, no, dude. Like, you got to give me like plus 750 money to bet either one of those teams against one of the top teams in the game, in the playoffs, in a 7-game series. I'm just not there yet. So there comes a time in baseball where I look at, think about the success of some teams we just talked about, Tampa Bay, L.A., Atlanta. What do all three of those teams have in common? They have built an incredible prospect system, an incredible farm system. They have homegrown talent, and then they sign them to long-term contracts, right? Like, right now, the Braves' shortest contract they have on the books, they just signed yesterday, adding 1 year to Travis d'Arnaud for one more year. But outside of that, think about every player for the Bravos. Every player on their infield was an all-starter this year, and every player is signed through a contract through at the least 2026. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. Outside of Randy Arozarena, this is a team, and maybe Wander Franco, that is not comprised of guys that are considered like household baseball star names, but they're all guys that came up through the system, learned to play the game the Tampa Bay way, showed up in the worst stadium in Major League Baseball at the Juice Box, and have taken this team that frankly looks like a Bad News Bears team on paper and turned them into a competitor. The Dodgers are a team that could trade half their farm system for Shohei Ohtani and still have a pretty good prospect pipe because of how much they've invested. That is the direction baseball is going in. Like, it's not a direction anymore of be the team that goes out and signs 3 or 4 all-stars during free agency and make a run. You have got to build an incredible young core through the farm system. The Braves are doing it. The Rays are doing it. The Dodgers are doing it. And those are the three teams at the top of baseball right now. You're the Cubs. You're the White Sox. You've got guys like Giolito. You've got guys like Bellinger. These are names that can get you 3 or 4 top-tier prospects that you can start doing with. I know it sucks when, you know, one baseball season is like 2% of your lifetime fanhood. So it sucks to say we got to throw it away to look forward to next year. But what else is going on right now that you're going to hang your hat on and go, oh, we still got a chance to turn it around? Especially the White Sox, Tim Anderson. I mean, I really hope he gets going. He is one of my favorite baseball players to watch. But if that guy's stinking up the field, there's some bad juju on the south side of Chicago that y'all got to go get Kyrie to get the sage out for you.
Wow. I totally agree. I mean, I've been disappointed by the White Sox enough at this point that I'm in the same boat. I said outside of like Lewis, Robert, and I would say like maybe Crochet because he's a left-hander and he's like their only left-hander that maybe has potential still. The rest of the team, I'm okay with seeing them just go at this point and just restart the whole thing, because you look at the Astros when they built it with Bregman and all those guys, and you've got the Cubs who built theirs in 2016. I mean, they're pretty solid. They're a pretty solid unit and go on to win some World Series. So,
yeah, again, man, it's like I said, it's grow this thing from the foundation. I think the teams that you are, listen, you're going to see a team make a run every now and then, right? Just by being incredibly talented. And we all know the postseason is about, you know, it's about 40% being a great team and about 60% getting white hot at the right time. You point to last year's Philadelphia Phillies for that. But that 40% is wildly important. And that 40%, I think, is starting to shift back from sign a ton of all-stars and turn into Have a Wonderful Farm Foundation. And the good news for Chicago and Chicago is that there are plenty of guys that don't have a lot of time left on their contract that are perfect pieces that you can sell. And it's more than just a player, right? For the White Sox, I think you got to move Anderson. I think you got to move Giolito for the Cubs. I think you're moving Stroman. I think you're using Bellinger. Those are just names off the top of my head. But for both of those teams, you're looking at, I mean, there's four, five, six top-tier prospects right there if you find the right dance partner for those guys. And if you do that, you know, now you're setting the foundation for next year, and you don't have to lean on Matt Mervis again.
Or who's your guy there, Tyler?
You talking about Pete Crow Armstrong?
No, Mr. Boner.
Master Boney.
Oh, Master Boney.
God, yeah, I can't stand him.
Talking, man, he's such a clutch hitter.
Oh yeah, there's a chance
we're gonna take a quick pivot here, Rob, because unlike these two jamokes, I actually, you know, listen to your show and watch your show on a daily basis while I'm doing my podcasting in our studio. But I want you to explain to Andrew why Spencer Rattler is the greatest quarterback ever to play the game and is so much better than DJ Uiagalelei.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Okay. All right. So, okay. All right.
Let me brace myself here, Rob. Hold on. Let me get ready for this.
No,
okay.
Wait. All right. So, for the record, I'm a big double D guy, and I mean that in every sense of the word, but I feel like I'm being misconstrued a little bit here. Look, DJ Uiagalelei, phenomenal dude. I've met him. I've interviewed him a couple times. Great guy. Mm-hmm. He did not fit at Clemson. And that's not to say you should be taking a bet on him for the Heisman at Oregon State. You absolutely should not. All right? Don't do that. Responsible gambling advocate Rob Brown is in the house right now. Don't do that. Look, DJ Uiagalelei is a good kid. I'm going to tell you the problem with DJ Uiagalelei, and this is something we're starting to see crop up more and more often, and it's something I'm really interested in. It's the Lamar Ball effect, right? Like, we have started to see more loser dads start to prop up their own image based on what their sons are accomplishing, right? We're seeing more dads who are trying to be their son's business manager when the majority of them couldn't manage a Burger King, but all of a sudden they're going to be a freaking NFL agent. And I think that's what happened with DJ Uiagalelei. Listen, Clemson's got a history of great quarterbacks, right? You go Kelly Bryant, you go Taj Boyd, you go Trevor Lawrence, you go Deshaun Watson. Like, they string together five or six top-notch college quarterbacks. And I think DJ's dad, and I've called him out on my show, and he and I have had at it a time or two. I think DJ's dad kind of put DJ Uiagalelei into this mindset of, hey, you're Clemson's quarterback. Clemson quarterback's good. You're going to be good. Go ahead and start preparing for that, you know, that first $1 million paycheck. And when he showed up to Clemson, he kind of thought it was going to be easy, right? Like, I think he kind of thought he was just going to roll the helmet out there and be the next Deshaun Watson, right? And he was never ready. He just mentally wasn't ready, which is why you saw him perform okay in some games, pretty well in some games, but in high-pressure games, he just did not have it. So I'm wondering if, you know, not getting the boot, he transferred on his own, but, you know, he transferred because he was getting the boot. I really do hope that's a slice of humble pie for DJ Uiagalelei, that he goes to Oregon State, that he goes out there, he joins the Beavs, and he goes, okay, I had a chance to be a big-time name and a big-time program, and I failed. I hope that he gets his dad out of his ear, and he just settles down and plays ball. Now, Spence is an interesting case study to me, because when he was at Oklahoma, he had kind of a similar setup, right? He was a Heisman Trophy favorite before he took his first freaking snap, which I still don't understand why we keep doing that. But he rolled out to Oklahoma, where the expectations were what? National championship, Big 12 championship, Heisman Trophy. Those were the baseline expectations for the guy, and he just didn't have it. All right. And that's fine. He was a young guy. Most guys don't have that. You got to grow into that role. But Oklahoma fans were so entitled and desperate at the same time that they just kind of heaped onto that guy. and the pressure collapsed on him. He couldn't handle it. So he transfers to Columbia. He goes to South Carolina. I said this to Gamecock fans around here in Greenville, and they get mad at me, but what are the expectations of South Carolina? Please don't suck. Like, that's the expectation. Please don't suck.
Just get to 500. You.
Yeah. So he gets to South Carolina, and there are no national championship expectations. There are no high – hell, there's no division expectations in South Carolina. It was just, please beat Clemson. Like, that was pretty much it. And so it took him a little while to get into Shane's offense and learn it. And then what happened at the end of the year? He comes out and he absolutely rolls the top five Tennessee team. He goes into Clemson. He beats them 31-30. He removes Clemson from the playoff talk. He figured it out. Now, the question I get a lot is, why did he not go to the league? And the answer is real easy. Because he was a fifth-round draft pick at the best last year, right? He was a project draft pick last year. So he looks at Tennessee last year. He looks at Clemson last year. He looks at another year of experience under his belt. And even though they've lost some weapons, the Jaheim Bells and the Marshawn Lloyds and all these guys that kind of stepped up in those late games, they've reloaded. They got Trey Knox coming in from Arkansas as a transfer. They got the Lewis kid, the wide receiver, coming in, who I think can be a big-time playmaker. So there's some opportunity for other guys to step up. And if Spence can do for a full season what he did for the last three games of the season last year, now all of a sudden Spencer's a late first round, early second round draft pick, and that's a much better look for him. So the good news is the expectations still aren't there. Do we expect them to be better? Yes. 8-4 is my expectation. Anything less than 8-4 is a disappointment. But if I'd have told you 3 years ago that was the expectation, you'd have thought I was nuts. I don't expect Spencer Rattler to win a Heisman. I expect him to get beat by 35 at minimum by the Georgia Bulldogs, who are going to be a wrecking ball. 8-4 is the expectation. And he's got the opportunity to set himself to move himself up three or four rounds in the NFL draft. The pressure is there, but it's not what it was at Oklahoma. He's going to be fine. Do I think we're going to end this year going, oh, my God, what an incredible turnaround? No, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to have a better draft look than freaking Will Levis did. And I think that's why he came back.
Whoa, whoa. Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Now you got David starting.
Whoa.
Here we go.
Whoa. Don't start on my boy.
See, you wanted him to get me all agitated. Yeah, now he's, you agitated.
Now he's coming after my boy, Will Levis. Now we have issues, man.
Yeah.
Now
all we right, have listen, issues. Listen. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm a big believer in you do you, right? Live and let live. You like what you like. You mm-hmm. watch. I watch 6 to 8 hours of professional wrestling a week. I'm in no position to judge what other people like and do with their
See,
lives.
This is why Rob and I are brothers from another mother. I'm telling you, he doesn't know that I'm a wrestling fan.
Now let me run it back. The minute you start gnawing down on bananas you didn't peel yet, you're a lunatic. You're a psychopath. You're a sociopath. And I can't handle it, man. I just
don't forget the mayo in the coffee too.
Yeah. Oh wait, did you not hear? Dude, didn't he admit that was made up? Like, and he just thought it was funny, so he kept rolling with it.
Is that really?
I thought I heard somewhere that he doesn't he made that up. He kind of made that up as a joke.
That's
even okay. So that's
good.
That's funny. If he was actually joking around about that, that is great. Because that blew up the media.
I do appreciate that. I appreciate that because my afternoon host on the Fan Upstate here in Greenville, my afternoon host and producer, they actually did a taste test of that on the radio, and I want it to be fake just so they suffered for no reason at all. I'm all in.
Oh, my God. That is so great.
All right. We're going to pivot again, Rob.
All right. We're talking with Rob Brown, host of the Rob Brown Show from 9 to 12 Eastern on The Fan in upstate Greenville, South Carolina, and co-host of Bet for the Cycle on BetQL Network Saturdays from 12 to 4. You can find him on at The Rob Brown Show on all social medias. Rob, what are your takes on bagels?
Double D. Why would you do this?
Because I thought, listen, Rob, when I think something is brilliant, I'm going to regurgitate it and bring it up. And it's a brilliant.
All right, you know what?
I need to hear this.
I ain't scared. I got all the food takes. All right. We just do a whole food podcast that I'm here for. All right. Here's the deal. Bagels are fine. They're just okay. They're average. They're just, they're bread. They're friggin' bread. Can we stop pretending? And before you hit me with, oh, but you can do cream cheese and raisin. You're adding other better things to bread. Stop. It's just bread, man. It's just, it's bread. Can we stop pretending like bagels are worth driving 30 minutes to the other friggin' side of town? It's fancy, round bread. That's all it is. If you want it to be good, throw some cheese and pepperoni and bacon on there, and let's have bagel bites. I will take microwaved bagel bites in my kitchen before I drive 3 minutes to go get a bagel somewhere. And listen, I know there's some New York dude who's listening to me right now. Cody, I'm looking at you, Cody Decker, who's listening to me, and he's ready to beat my ass on this tank. Listen. They're fine. If I go out somewhere, like if the fiance drags me out to her fancy brunch and I get there and they put a bagel on the table with some cream cheese, fine. I'll eat the bagel. That's fine. But it's friggin' bread. Can we stop pretending that it's like the universe's gift to people? There are 12 other kinds of bread that are better than a bagel. I'm sorry. There just are. It is what it is. And while we're at it, floppy bacon is better than crispy bacon. Bite me, dog.
Wow. Well,
I can't even argue on that one because I'm just a bacon lover in general. I don't care what it is.
Bacon is bacon.
Yeah.
Rob, I'm going to come at you with another food one. Tell these boys why queso is better than guac.
Bro, I don't need to tell you. Just eat it, and there's your answer. All right? It's like I put you in the front seat of a Bugatti and then the front seat of Corolla, and you try to tell me the Corolla's better. Get out. You know you're wrong. I know you're wrong. We all know you're wrong. Just accept you're wrong, and it's okay. Listen, so somebody hit me with it. I am going to say this. Since last Saturday, I have modified my position a little bit. All right, Double D, I've modified my position just a little bit.
Okay.
If I walk into a place with zero knowledge of the guac and queso scene that they have going on, I'm going to order queso 100 out of 100 times because queso is phenomenal. If I go to a place and I get told by 100 people the guac here is out of this world, I will get the guac and the queso because – and I had a guy on Twitter – hit me up after this debate for some reason raged for 3 damn days of my life. I had a dude hit me with this. He said, elite caliber guac is easy to bleep up. And if you bleep it up, it's bad. But it's only like the top fraction, the top tier of guac goes into that elite category. And then there's queso, which is virtually impossible to bleep up. You can't mess it up. It's cheap. It's very true. Exactly. So if I'm going in blind, I'm going with the queso because the odds that you have screwed up the queso are like 0% versus the guac where the odds you screw it up are like 97%. Now, if you hit in that 3% of guac, you've got a phenomenal guac and that's fantastic. But if I told you that on one hand you've got a 97% chance to win $100 or a 3% chance to win $1,000, you're almost kind of crazy not to take the $100, right? Like $100 at 97% is better than $1,000 at 3%.
These conversations that happen
are fantastic.
See, what I do is though, I would just take that and salsa and just mix it all together. I've done that plenty of times before.
Yeah, but you're
but weird. I know I'm weird like that.
Yeah,
I,
you are.
I can definitely roll with that. Well, Rob, I've been asked to ask you a question. I'm not taking the hit on this one. Are you kidding me?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Andrew.
So the question is being asked of when you're going to the Squatch convention.
All right. Yeah, look.
I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is, but now I'm so intrigued.
You can have an idea of who's feeding these questions to Andrew.
The only one here that listens to his show.
Correct. It's not a well-kept secret right now, Double D. I'm painfully aware. All right. So there's this long-running debate on my show, right? So my producer, Lonzo, and I our show is almost as off the rails as y'all's is right now. All right. And
I love it.
We get into AI and robots and aliens and Bigfoot and just all the weird conspiracy theory stuff. Now, it's from a fun position because for me, I don't believe in these conspiracy theories and stuff, but I find them wildly entertaining. It's like, Double D, half the fun in going to a wrestling show isn't even the wrestling. It's the people watching, right?
Oh, like absolutely. That's 100%.
100%. Because watching those people makes you feel better about your own life and choices. So that's half the fun. And so there's these conspiracy theorists out there, like the aliens and the big one going on right now is that there's like one random dude who used to be a respected intelligence officer who's saying we definitely have crashed UFOs and stuff. So we get into all this stuff. Okay. And all right. So I come from the background of I believe something when you prove it to me. You saying a thing doesn't do a damn thing for me. Mm-hmm. You have to prove it to me. That's how belief in something works. I believe it when you provide me with the evidence and the proof that that thing is real. So I dismiss this guy outright because it's every time they ask him, they're like, where is it? He's like, well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. All right. Well, who has seen it? Oh, a friend of a friend. Okay. Well, I've got no reason to believe it. Well, we live in Greenville, South Carolina, and North Carolina is only like 40 minutes. We're like 40 minutes from the border. And North Carolina is real big in Sasquatch, right? Sasquatch lives in North Carolina, boys. That's what they tell you. And there are people up there who are still doing, after 100 years, Bigfoot hunts. And I'm gonna go ahead and spoil the next every season of Bigfoot Hunters on Discovery. They don't find him. Spoiler alert. They don't friggin' find him.
Is that the one with Bobo and all those dudes? Is that that group or is that a completely different group? Because I know there's like six of them out there.
No, I believe that is the show.
Okay.
Yeah, this show, yo.
I love
this
that.
This show has been on seven damn seasons and they ain't found him. All right? This show should not be called Finding Bigfoot. It should be called Losers in the Woods.
But it's definitely a Squatch. It's always a Squatch out there. That's what they always say.
It's always a Squatch. They do a Bigfoot festival every year, and it's made up of two groups of people. About half of the festival is people who genuinely, honestly, truly believe that Bigfoot's out there, and we just haven't found him. And then it's made up half of people like me who go there to laugh at those people. And I'm not a mean person. I'm really not. But sometimes you gotta laugh. Sometimes you gotta laugh. Sometimes you gotta laugh, bro. Sometimes you gotta laugh.
I'm intrigued. Can we go to this now? Like, we have a
just have group outing.
Yeah.
Just group outing. See
this. I will wear a Sasquatch outfit if it gets us in. I don't care.
All right, Rob. I have one. I have one question left for you.
Fire away.
I want to know what you believe is one of the worst movies ever made that most people like.
No Country for Old Men. That is, listen, I have watched that movie probably 30
Thank
times,
you, Rob.
Right? And listen, and for the record, it's not for lack of trying. I want to like it. I've watched that movie probably 30 times. Javier Bardem played an incredible bad guy in the movie, right? Shigure is a top-notch bad guy. He's one of the few bad guys in movies that I was actually creeped out by. But Tommy Lee Jones' speech, which is heralded as like this great movie speech, no, it's not. It's a blabbering old man who's had too much coffee at a table.
Agreed.
All right? And number two, that movie ended. I had a conversation with my little brother. My little brother is a brilliant young man. We had a conversation about how that movie ends. Because let's be real, that movie just stops, right? Like, they forgot to film the ending to that movie. It just stopped. And so we were having a conversation, and he's like, wasn't that one of the greatest movies ever? I'm like, well, like, the first 80% was really good, but they, like, forgot to film the end. And he goes, no, dude. You're supposed to make up the ending to the movie in your own head. You get to decide the ending. That is not a movie, dog! No! What are you talking about? Like, could you imagine if you went to a restaurant and you ordered a steak dinner and they brought you out some lovely mashed potatoes and some perfectly grilled asparagus and nothing else? And you're like, yo, where's the steak? And they're like, no, you just have to imagine the steak in your head. God, I would lose my mind. I would lose it. And that's what they did with this movie. It is constantly talked about as one of the greatest movies of all time. And I'm like, it is 80% a wonderful movie and 20% you screwed up and forgot to film the... It's like it's like a kid turning in a book report where they forgot to write the last two pages and then they try to convince the teacher there was a deeper meaning to it. Stop. I'm not an idiot. You know I'm not an idiot. You already got my money. Stop hyping the movie. Stop it.
That's right there with the Sopranos ending, then, I guess.
Yeah, right. That is a fantastic answer.
Rob, we appreciate you coming on with us today. Giving us your time for us to come over here and tell us your hate for bagels. I mean, not hate for bagels, but
distaste.
Your distaste for bagels.
Disdain.
And
let's be abundantly clear. Bagels are fine. If you like a bagel, there's nothing wrong with you. That's okay. Just stop telling me that they're an all-time great breakfast. They're not, dude. They're not. They're just not.
I agree with you, man. Yeah. Well, hey, you have a great rest of the week, and try to win. Get your and Cody's parlay to win this weekend. So
maybe Dave will have to get
another tattoo.
Whoa, whoa.
A ranch ice cream? Wasn't that one of the deals?
Oh, yeah, the ranch ice cream. Cody and Rob absolutely love the ranch ice cream.
Listen, I will eat 100 bagels in a row before I take another bite bowl of that hell on earth that they call ranch ice cream.
A bagel with guac.
By the way, Rob, I had to leave early because I had to go and work for the Chicago Dogs, but I heard... we got mushed again?
Dude, you did not get mushed, my guy. You got mega ultra mushed by the mushiest of mushers in Mario. You guys, listen, you guys hit two legs of the parlay. For those of you all that don't know, I'm sure Double D's probably broke down how this game works on the show. You guys hit two legs in one inning, right?
Yeah.
In one inning, two legs. And then all you had to do was win by two, a game that San Diego was up by four, and Mario started running his mouth, and would you know it, listen, I'm a Braves fan. I hate the Philadelphia Phillies with every fiber of my soul.
Wow.
And I have never been happier to see the Philadelphia Phillies win a game in my life. Incredible. Incredible.
And what makes it even worse is that leg was Mario's leg, too.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's
dude,
right.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm really glad that the bet is team talent versus team production as opposed to team Double D and Rick. Because we'd have lost like four in a row at this point if y'all didn't have Mario.
Oh, I know. I know, because Rick and I keep our mouths shut. It's just like... And by the way, and just real quick, before we let you go... My thought is that I'll even pony up and say that I'll get the Bronco tattoo with Mario if he says yes to it.
Listen, that's on y'all. Listen,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm for it. Listen, I'm for it. I'm all in.
I just want to see. I just want to film Mario passing out in the tattoo chair.
Oh, no. For the record. And I also want you to film that, just so we're abundantly clear. Oh, yes.
I mean, it's bad enough I've already got to film his bikini, or his Brazilian.
Listen, so I really hope you're providing background to the boys on what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, they know about the Brazilian.
No, we know.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, if somebody doesn't know what we're talking about, you have just made me sound like the weirdest SOB.
No, they know. They know. Perfect. You are the topic. You're the topic of that show is the topic of conversation every Monday. But while we're doing all our prep for the show.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love it. I love it. It means we're doing something either very, very right or really, really wrong. And I'm just going to hope it's the former.
Oh, it is. It's the former. You are, without a shadow of a doubt, my favorite show to work, other than The Daily Tip.
I'm not mad about that at all. We strive for mediocrity, and it sounds like we're accomplishing it. So I like it.
You're a little bit more mediocre. You and Cody definitely kill it on a daily basis.
All right, Rob. Well,
you guys are the best, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll be out. We'll definitely have to have you on again soon, for
sure.
Absolutely.
Anytime, fellas. Anytime. For Double D, I'll do it. Y'all let me know when and where, and I'll be there.
Absolutely, man. Take care, all right?
All right, guys. Later on.
That was the Rob Brown on the Rob Brown Show that you guys can find him on the Fan Upstate in Greenville, South Carolina, available on thefanupstate.com, and the co-host of Bet for the Cycle on the BetQL Network Saturdays from noon to 4 Eastern Time. You can still find him all social medias at the Rob Brown Show everywhere. God, that was so much fun. But we're going to continue the baseball talk.
I honestly don't think Andrew was ready.
I was crying. I was crying.
He broke Andrew.
Oh yeah. I don't think he was ready.
I was crying.
I keep telling you, Cody's great. Rob's that diamond in the rough that no one knows about.
Yeah. He's a character anywhere you put him on. Yeah. I mean, I had him the Score with Gabe, and he was just, no one even heard about him over at the Score. Like, Ryan didn't know. Gabe wasn't sure about him. I'm like, well, he was familiar because, you know, Gabe's done stuff with BetQL, but he was just fantastic. So, I mean, get him on again. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up, Let's dive into both East divisions. We're gonna start off with the American League East division, see where they're standing, who's buyers, who's sellers with this trade deadline. That'll be all next here on Blow the Whistle on twitch.tv/sportstownshy.